Friends, I will be speaking on a number of passages in relation to prayer this morning, and you'll see if you could take your outline out, we'll be going to a number of passages. But the passage I'll read right at the beginning as our Bible reading is from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. You might like just to follow it up on the screen, because during the message we will go to a variety of passages. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward our outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer everyone. Friends, let's pray. Lord God, it is our prayer this morning that we would become prayerful people. It is our prayer, Lord God, this morning that we would be filled with love for you and desire for intimacy with you, and recognize that it is your power at work in us that makes the difference in our lives and in the lives of others, and that we should not dare to seek to do ministry, to follow our vision, our plans, our goals, that acknowledging that it is you who is at work. It is your power that works in and through us, and it is you who needs to get the glory. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know about you, but every time I start a new year of ministry, I get a little bit nervous. Will God work? Will God do much amongst us? What will hinder God working? Why might God choose not to work amongst us? Will we just do the same things again? Will we just go through routine? Will we just live life, eat, drink, go to work, come home? Will our family stay the same? Will our neighbours still be unreached? Will our missionaries be supported? Well, will God do something? And I'm constantly reminded from the Word of God that I need to trust God, and I need to bring my request to God, trusting that He will be gracious to work in answer to our prayers. And one of the dangers of a church when you have a lot of people is you can get comfortable. You have a lot of children in your kids' club ministry and so on, or church, you can get comfortable and assume that if you plan well and run creative things and have good music, and have good drama and have everything else, that's enough. And I want to remind you this morning, that's not enough. Because I am hopeless at making myself holy. I am hopeless at helping you become holy. And I'm hopeless in leading people to Christ. But God is very capable, and God is very strong, and God is very powerful, and His Spirit who is in me can make me effective in evangelism, in discipling, in loving. And I love this quote. It says, a prayerless Christian is like a bus driver trying to push his bus out of a rut because he doesn't know Clark Kent is on board. Like that. In a sense, a lot of times we just want to do it in our own strength. I'm just going to plan this. I've written the Bible studies. It's all going to happen now. We've got the Vision Launch video ready to go for next week. Doris has finished that. And the building's almost open. Surely it's going to happen. Friends, we need to be, there's one thing we need to take with us this year. We need to be men and women of prayer. And I say, don't attempt anything for God unless you have bowed your knee before your Heavenly Father and called upon Him to work through you. In John chapter 16, the Word of God says, in that day you will no longer ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John Piper writes this. He says, you know, God can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in 5 years. Oh, how I have learned this over the years, he writes. What an amazing thing to bow my head repeatedly and plead with God during sermon preparation or during some counselling crisis, or some witnessing conversation, or some planning meeting, and to have breakthrough after breakthrough which did not come until I prayed. What an important lesson to feel fretful and eager to get to work immediately because I have so much to do, I don't know how I can get it all done. But to force myself to be biblical and reasonable and take time to get on my knees to pray before I work. And while on my knees to have ideas tumble to my mind, how to handle a problem or shape a message or deal with a crisis or solve a theological problem. And so save myself hours and hours of work and the frustration of beating my head against the wall trying to figure out what came in 5 seconds of illumination. I don't mean that God spares us hard work. I mean prayer can make your work 5,000 times more fruitful than you can make it alone. And I just remember the number of times I come into my office in the morning and there's a list of things I have to do when I get here at 8 or just after 8. And although in my head it says you read your Bible first and you pray first, you turn on the computer and then you start to answer the emails and you start to read something else. And then an hour and a half later you haven't read your Bible. And you haven't prayed. Anyone like that? Yeah. I'm reminded that I need to come in my office with my Bible and God and don't turn on the iPad or the computer. Just get my Bible and open it up before God and read it and soak it up and then talk to God and bring the request to Him before anything else. Friends, the men and women involved with the Gideon's ministry, and some of them involved in the Gideon's throughout church, know this truth. They place Bibles in hotels and schools and hospitals and universities. I found one in a hotel in Victoria this week, guys. Just thought of, girls, I'll let you know. Gideon's Bible. Very impressed. But they put them in there. But you know what they do? They pray. And every so often they send me a letter because some guys in the local area pray for the ministers. So we just want you to know that this morning we upheld you before God, that God would work in your life and God would touch other people through you. And I went to a Gideon's event a while ago and there's a lady called Melissa speaking, telling her story. Sexually abused by her father, left home. At 15, she lived on the streets. She says, on the streets, I witnessed murders. I witnessed bashings. I did drugs. I just tried to stay alive. It's a terrible place living on the streets in the city, she said. One day, she said, it was just so bad, I decided to go back home and deal with what had happened to her. She said, I was in my bedroom, I looked at my bookshelf and saw a little red New Testament that she had received in year 7 at high school. I remember that. I kept mine for years, knowing that when somebody put that in my hand, they had prayed that God would use that word to change my life. She said, she opened it up and read a message that changed her life. She said, she came to faith in Jesus Christ through that. You know, I was thinking all those Gideon guys getting together and the women's auxiliary part of that, praying that as the word of God goes out, lives will be transformed. There's this woman living on the streets, transformed by the gospel, now working as a chaplain. And she told the story of telling her own story. And there's another woman in one of those gatherings serving the drinks and serving the food at that restaurant who approached her afterwards. And that woman also gave her life to Christ. Why? Because someone prayed, someone put the word of God into the hands of someone or in a place when someone can read it and God uses that word to transform. I remember a few years ago through our primetime ministry and that many of you were involved in and we were at, I still remember it was at Robertson specifically, we were having a Christmas in July and we had prayed that God would just use the message to touch people's lives and many of our own craft people, I mean primetime people were encouraged by it, but there's a worker there. Afterwards came and said, I needed to hear that message today. Can I have some more information? We're able to get the word of God to her so she could read it and try and help her to know Christ. Pray, give out the word, trusting that God will do his work in the lives of people this year. You know, I met a woman in Melbourne a few years ago. I was at an evangelism conference and we were in a small group seminar and I mentioned my name and I guess there aren't many Angelos who turn up to Protestant conferences around the place. And she just looked at me, she said, Angelo. Yes. I said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. She said, you didn't speak at an ICF leadership conference about 10 years ago, did you? Well, I did. And she said, my daughter came home And she said she heard the gospel being proclaimed. Her life was changed. She was 15, came home with a passion for God, and she continued to serve God now in her 20s. Praying. I would have never known that story until we just happened to be at the same place. I share that with you because of this. You don't always hear the stories back of how your prayers and your witness is going to impact people. Every so often, God gives you a bit of extra encouragement. Get the word out. Be prayerful that God will work. God has given us a great commission. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of God also says through the Apostle Paul, "As you go out, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It is a spiritual battle, and every day as we seek to share Christ and pray for the breakthrough in the lives of people, we know it's a battle. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He says, take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You get that? You take the word as you go, praying all occasions, all kinds of prayers and requests. In other words, bring everything to God. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We take the word, praying. John Piper puts it this way: prayer makes a statement. It waves a banner that the church exists to do what it cannot do in the natural, but it can do in the power of the Holy Spirit. 2014 is a year where we need to trust the power of the Holy Spirit to work in and through us in a variety of ways. But friends, one of the difficulties with prayer and keeping at it is that you get tired and slack doing it alone. And that's why we say to you, please join a home Bible study group. And that's why we say to people in home Bible study groups, ensure that you are praying together. Ensure that you're building the other members of your group up. Ensure that you care and love one another. Ensure that you are working together maybe to draw new people into your groups. Look out for those who aren't in groups. Bring them in. Because when we do life together, when we pray together, when I get lazy at home and I don't do it, when I'm with my group, a brother or sister will pray for me and I will pray for them and we will pray together. And that will help lift us and to keep us going. Some key principles. Let me run through these pretty quickly. You've got 10 points there. Number one, we must call out to God with perseverance, with vigilance, and with thankfulness. My suggestion at the end of today is that you take these 10 points and put them in your Bible and you pray. Devote yourselves. Be devoted to prayer. Our Bali team was devoted to prayer. My daughters are still overseas, so I'm praying a lot. They are sitting on a beach in Thailand, enjoying the sun at the moment. But I'm praying because I don't know what they're going to eat. I don't know who they're going to meet on the streets. I don't know what the traffic is like. Yes, I do know what the traffic is like, and therefore I pray more. Be devoted to prayer. But our Bali team prayed, and you heard some of the stories from Robin. No bags were checked on the way through. They stayed healthy overall. There were no major illnesses or car accidents. They told me when they got in the car, Robin said, we got out of the airport, we sat in the car, and then the car started to drive. It's chaos. Yes, it is. And by the grace of God, we got out of that chaos and we came home. And some of you have been to Bali, you know what it's like. Just cars driving everywhere. There's no road rage in Bali. Did you know that? Because you're expected to run across each other and go everywhere. In Sydney, what are you doing getting in my lane? That's my lane, not in Bali. The lanes belong to all of us, together, simultaneously. Bikes, goats, kids, it doesn't matter. They're just going and driving, and somehow they get there. But we prayed for safety, and God gave it to us. We prayed that we'd encourage the missionaries, and you prayed. And the missionaries were encouraged. You know what it's like for them as we prayed for our people to work in unity and to serve their children? They said to Robin and the others said, well, you guys are booked up for 2 years' time. That church, Nowy Baptist Church, we want you back. And we prayed and we stood with them, persevering. Do you have a family member that you've given up praying for? They'll never come to Christ. I pray for 10 years or 20 years. I can't pray any longer. Well, friends, let me say, be devoted, be persevering. I was reading a story from a guy called Douglas Kelly in his book, If God Already Knows, Why Pray? Tells a story of visiting an older Scottish woman up in the Highlands. Been a Christian, he said, a great example of faithful prayer. And he said, I was with this lady when she received a letter from a woman who was her bridesmaid 53 years earlier. And this lady, now in her 80s, said, just wanted to let you know that I've given my life to Jesus. I've become a Christian. And this woman turned to us, Douglas Kelly, who wrote the book, and said, been praying for that woman for 53 years, every day. Man, I'm hopeless compared to that. I pray one day, I forget the next day, and I remember my parents, my brother, my nieces, my nephews, my immediate family who don't know Jesus, who are going to a Christless eternity. Be persevering, Ange Gratson. Don't give up on them. And I say the same to you. Be vigilant. Be spiritually alert. Be watchful for the opportunities. Be thankful for when God works. And we've heard answered a prayer in Bali. Let's be thankful to God for that. Thankful to God that one of our members has been honored by our community with a medal because of the work that's happening in this place through Creative Craft to bless those who are suffering in different ways. Thankful to God. Call on God to extend his kingdom in the world. The Lord's Prayer, part of that is about mission. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying that his kingdom spreads, that more and more people acknowledge Jesus as King this year. 3, we must call on God that the gospel will spread rapidly and be honored. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. In the Greek it says, pray that the word of God may run and be glorified just as it was with you. It's a picture, can you picture the word of God just running with legs from place to place? And I picture the word of God running down to Riverwood Shopping Center, and it's down there, and I'm down there doing my shopping, and people are talking about Jesus over coffee. And I'm running to the sporting fields, and I turn up to get some exercise, and a couple of people are talking about Jesus, or a Christian is sharing the gospel with someone else. Or we're thinking about being at the wedding last night, and Nathan comes over to me and he says, Andrew, just met this guy, one non-Christian on our table, I got to talk to him. At the end of it, he said, I need to know more about Jesus. He said, I might even check out your church one day. Wherever we are, that's the picture. Pray that the gospel runs. It runs. It's out everywhere. Our scripture teachers are going to go into the schools. Pray that as they go into the schools, the gospel runs into the hearts of young people and they come to Christ. As craft starts again, as playtime starts, mums on a mission. We are praying, mums. You go to playtime, you've got young kids, you're at schools, whatever it happens to be, we're praying that God will use you, the gospel will run and be glorified. People come to faith in Christ. We must call on God to save unbelievers. My brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites so that they may be saved. These are people close to Paul's heart. This is his people, his family. This is Australia Day. This is our country. This is our people. We've come from many nations. This is our country. This is our people. Pray for Australia. Friends, we need a revival in this nation. We need a spiritual awakening in this nation. Less and less people are in church on a Sunday than ever before. Less and less people are claiming an allegiance to a God of any form than ever before. We need to be praying and saying, God, please, Australians need you. My Chinese-Australian neighbour needs you. My Greek-Australian neighbour needs you. My Anglo friend down the street needs you. God, whoever they are, wherever they come from. God, those asylum seekers who are in Villawood right now. Some of our people are visiting. God, they need you. Please touch their lives and save them. I'm reading the story of Jim Simbala, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. And amazing church, but a minister to prayer and praying that God would work. But in the midst of that, doing that work for God, his 18-year-old daughter became rebellious and left home. Lived on the streets for a while, shacked up with some other guy, was just messed up her life. And they prayed and they prayed and prayed for a breakthrough, and nothing came. And God reminded him again, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. If you want to read a book on prayer, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, that's his first book. He's got 3 or 4 others. Just an amazing story and encouragement to prayer. And I read that every so often just to remind myself, passionate prayer. But he gave up praying, and they had a prayer gathering. He just prayed quietly and not contact his daughter because he just didn't know what else to do with her. And one night he said they were at a prayer gathering, and I'll just summarize the story. He said, one of the ladies said, Pastor Jim, we think we should stop for a moment our prayer gathering and pray for your daughter, Chrissy. He said, oh, we've got all these other things to pray for. Are you sure? He said, we're believers of God that we should stop and pray for your daughter. He said, okay. So I said, listen, we're going to stop our prayer gathering, and our words come from one of our members saying we should pray for your daughter this morning or tonight. They began to pray. He says, it was like a labor room, he said. Our prayer gathering, the place was shaking, people were moving. It was like giving birth, the pain, the agony, the sense of, God, please do something in Chris's life. He went home to his wife later that night. He said, honey, I think it's over. I said, what do you mean? He said, something happened in that prayer meeting tonight. I just think God's going to do something in Chris's life. Next day, he's upstairs in his office, his wife's downstairs. She comes up and says, Jim, Chrissy's downstairs. She wants to see you. He hadn't seen her for ages, right? They're praying one night. Next day, she's there. She went downstairs and said, Dad, who was praying for me yesterday? Who was praying for me yesterday? I said, what do you mean? So I just felt this amazing conviction of God and a work of God in my life. I just went, I've got to go home. Came to Christ, repented, grew and served Christ and continued to serve Christ. Now I think married to a pastor, if I remember the rest of the story, and serving Christ in another church. When's the last time we prayed like that? With tears, with passion, that God would save those that we love. Call on God for boldness in proclamation. Because as well as praying, we'll need to be out there in a world that is not interested in Jesus to share him. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth and words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Now, Lord, consider their threats in Acts 4 and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Who feels bold in evangelism? Does anyone feel bold? Who feels a little bit tentative in evangelism? The older I get, the more tentative I become in society. I don't know what that is. Pray for boldness. There's something about when you're praying and you're spiritually alert, and God gives you those opportunities. Pray for miraculous deliverances. Been convicted from God's word in the book of Acts especially, that we need to believe and trust that God will do miracles as we pray for his workers. And in Acts chapter 12, remember Peter is in prison, and it says the church was earnestly praying for him. Okay, what's the church doing? It's not just casually praying for him. Their brother is in prison. They are earnestly praying for him. And the night before Herod was about to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, woke him up. Peter's looking around. Quick, get up. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. The angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, and he had no idea what the angel was doing. No idea, sorry, that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. He's in jail. Next moment, he's out free and the angel's gone. And you wake up to that thinking, wow, okay, I'm out. That's God. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. We had to pray that. You know, when our team was in Bali, they met cross-cultural workers, missionaries from throughout Southeast Asia. They need almost daily miraculous deliverances, so that the enemies of the gospel will not see what they're doing. They'll be protected. Now, I remember in John Piper's book, if you would like to read another book on prayer and missions, this Let the Nations Be Glad. It tells a story in Mozambique where a Christian preacher, a missionary, was converted and then started to preach everywhere. And he was arrested by one of the local guards and accused of being anti-government or something, and the magistrate or the police fella didn't really understand who he was, but he locked him up anyway. And then one day he was driving along in his car, and he saw what seemed to be an angel in front of the car, right? This is the story, as Piper recalls it and tells it, and he's driving along, he sees an angel, so he turns over. He's got a carload of people, this police fella, and it turns, they all get out alive, and they said, what happened? He said, before me, I saw an angel, and I swerved to avoid him. The impact of that intervention of God was he went back to the jail, to the guy he'd imprisoned, the Christian evangelist, and he went, I don't know who you are, but I know what I've just seen. Can you tell me about Jesus? Not only did he tell him about Jesus and see him come to faith, but he released him from prison. Not only did he do that, he then ensured that when he travelled from place to place to preach, that he was protected and not persecuted. God can work miraculously. And I think in Australia more and more, in the deadness of our spiritual life, in secularism in our secular society and the pursuit of money and pleasure, it's going to take almost miraculous intervention of God to wake people up to the reality of God. Let's pray for God-given opportunities to proclaim Christ. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Friends, if there's one thing I want to pray every day this year, God, I'm praying for a God-given opportunity, an open door. 8, we must pray that preachers and pastors might proclaim it clearly. And so therefore, we need to know the gospel. Every Christian, every evangelist, every witness must know it and proclaim it. So part of the Mums on a Mission training involves Yvette helping you to package the Bible or the message and how to share it with others. The Jesus Brings campaign that we will deal with this year is not just a 5-week Bible study program. The Anglican Church that is putting out this campaign and that we are part of are producing a 2-week evangelism training program using a special gospel tool that they are bringing out, and we will have within the next couple of weeks. And we want as many people as possible through our home groups to do that training program and to learn how to utilize a gospel tract. It's called The Search. More on that in the next couple of weeks, that as we talk to people, we have something to give them to introduce them to Christ. 1,500 of those searches are coming in. It is our prayer that you will take one, have it available to give out and share the gospel with people in multiple languages. So we'll provide training in that. 9, we must call on God to send out missionaries. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And if there's one thing we want to pray, that more people will go. In October last year, Tim and Val went to Nepal. And Emily has gone to Burkina Faso, will come back. We pray in for a few months' time, and then prepare to go long term. God's concern is that we pray that God, that more workers will go out into the field. One of the reasons we're doing Chinese ministry right here is because we are praying, we've been praying, brother, for a number of years, that we would establish a ministry to reach our Chinese friends and our community. That's a prayer. We have prayed, and now God says we're ready to go. And we continue to pray that God will do that work. And finally, we must call on God for the success of missionaries, Romans 15. Not much good sending them out to Nepal and Burkina Faso and Southeast Asia and so on. But I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me, Paul says. I need your prayers, church. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. The missionaries or our workers who went to Bali will know missionaries now in Southeast Asia and will pray for them, that their work will be successful. You may not know, but one of our workers, Ado and Claire, has been based on the island of Bali for the last 12, 13 years, has just moved to a Muslim island, off the Hindu island, to start a new ministry. You want to pray for someone specifically? While our team was there, a couple of days after that, they travelled to the island off a Muslim island in Southeast Asia. Pray that he starts to make new networks, understand Islam even better, and develop relationships in the surfing community. They will begin a new ministry that will further impact the nation of Indonesia for Christ. Pray that they will be successful, pray that they will be protected, and pray that we'll see a wonderful celebration in heaven. And we can be a part of that by praying for them. Are you ready to pray? I'm going to do it now, so it's about to finish now. But can I urge you to go with your friends, talk about it, go to your home groups, sign up, get ready, do your personal prayers, read your Bible every day, get your home group every week or fortnightly if that's when you meet, organise to meet with two or three other people to pray maybe or to read the Bible if you can't get to a home group, meet with your mentor or find a mentor if you'd like a mentor. But make sure that we as a church are praying people passionately, earnestly, that God would be glorified in and through us. We pray. Lord God, we commit ourselves to you this year. Lord, make us a people who are dependent upon you, and may that dependence be expressed in our prayer lives. God, you are doing wonderful things in this place and across the world, and we pray that we would truly trust that you can do even more powerful things and more exciting things as we call upon you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.